the gospel of the grace of God. And this phrase, the gospel of the grace of God, is one of the most misunderstood verses, words, phrases in the New Testament. The New Testament definition of grace compared to law is what we have preached here for years. Sin shall not rule you when you're under grace and not under law. If sin is mastering you, you are under law, according to Romans 6:14. When sin stops mastering you, you're under grace. That's like saying you've learned to walk. You're not falling down all the time like a little child. Does that mean a grown man will never slip up and fall? You may slip up and fall today. Out on the road, you can trip on something. It can happen to anybody. So Paul was not saying that people will not sin. But just because I saw you trip and fall, I don't say you haven't learned to walk. When I see a little child, a 10-month-old child, tripping and falling, that's different. There's a difference between people who are falling and falling and falling and falling, and a person who falls once in a while, he's learned to walk. So when sin, it says sin will not rule over you, does not mean that you'll never sin. But it does mean that it cannot rule, it cannot master you. You are the master. And that is what we preach, the gospel of the grace of God. This was corrupted even in the first century, that Peter had to write a full epistle on it. And in that epistle he says things like, if you call him Father, then live in fear. And walk in the footsteps of Jesus, he says in 1 Peter 2. And at the end he says in chapter 5, this is the true grace of God. You read 1 Peter carefully and you'll see what the true grace of God is. So he preached that true grace of God. And maybe I should turn that for a moment before we come back here. 1 Peter, because many of you may not be familiar with it. We've looked at this verse many times. But listen how Peter concludes his letter. Verse 12. Peter's letter is in my Bible is about 4 pages. 3.5 pages. 3.5 pages. That's all. He says in 1 Peter 5:12, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God. Which means there is a false grace of God. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. What is the true grace of God? What is the gospel of the grace of God which Paul preached and which Peter preached? Let me show you. Turn first of all to 1 Peter and chapter 1. He says here in verse 8, just as a beginning, even though you have not seen him, nobody had seen Jesus, you still love him. This is what the grace of God does. You have never seen Jesus physically, but you love him. That's one proof of the true grace of God. You're not going around saying, no, I'll believe only when I see him. No, I've not seen him, but I love him. And you still don't see him, but I believe in him. And I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know that when you come to receive the true grace of God, it does not make you miserable. It does not make you miserable. It gives you an unspeakable joy. If you're always miserable, gloomy, complaining, grumbling, you've missed out on the true grace of God. I might as well tell you that. It says this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. And when you live like this, you will obtain the result of your faith, verse 9, which is the salvation of your soul. Peter speaks about a salvation which is more than salvation from hell. Salvation of my defiled soul. My soul has been corrupted by sin through inherited sin from Adam, and I'm going to be saved from it. From all that has defiled and corrupted my soul, made me selfish and miserly and grumbling and complaining, I'm going to experience salvation. And then he goes on to say, verse 16, the true grace of God, verse 15, 1 Peter 1:15, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Be holy in all your behavior. Because the one who called you is holy. This is the true grace of God. And if you call him Father, verse 17. How do these false preachers say he's your father? A father will just overlook all your sins and forgive you and forgive you and forgive you and forgive you and give you any amount of money that you want. Do what you like, do what you like. Look what Peter says about the Father. If you call him Father, he will impartially judge you according to every man's work. Then conduct yourself in fear. Very different from the false preachers. Don't be deceived. Go by the word of God and not by the clever illustrations and stories people use to tell you what God is like. You know, whenever a person uses an illustration, you got to be careful if it's a scriptural illustration or not. Because I've heard a lot of this. I don't have television in my home. I don't have time for it because I still don't know the Bible properly. And I want to be ready to meet with God. And I want to make full use of my life. But for 1 year, many years ago, for 1 or 2 years, I took cable television only to watch all the TV, Christian TV programs in India. And I watched every one of them, 99% all American preachers, and I saw what they were preaching. I needed to see it because I wanted to see what other Christians, even some CFC people, were watching. Otherwise, how can I help them and correct them? And I saw all of them, they were not preaching the true gospel. They were not telling you about sin will not rule over you. They were not saying, if God is your father, live in fear, like it says here. Conduct yourself in fear during your entire stay on this earth. Have you ever heard that from any preacher? If God is your father, conduct yourself in fear during your entire time on this earth. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Because you were redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You've often heard me say, don't treat the blood of Christ like tap water. Peter says, don't even treat it like silver or gold. Forget tap water, which is cheap. Even silver and gold is nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. If you had 10 crores of rupees worth of gold, the blood of Jesus Christ is more valuable than that. How do we apply that in relation to sin? If you sin once, many of you say, what to do, brother? I keep falling, I keep falling, I keep falling. Okay. Supposing you had to pay 1 lakh rupees every time you sinned to be forgiven. Don't you think you would stop sinning pretty quickly? Definitely. All this business of, I'm weak, I can't help it. That's the devil who tells you that. That tells you that the power of sin, Satan says, that I put in your nature is more powerful than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And you say, yes, Satan, that's right. You have to watch pornography, the devil says. It's part of your nature. The grace of God can't deliver you. Yes, Satan, you're right. Shame on you, especially if you've been listening to CFC for so many years. It's because of these false preachers who comforted you with false comfort. The blood of Christ, next time you ask, and you know, we sin, okay. Next time you ask Jesus to forgive you, that may be within the next 24 hours, you slip up somewhere with a bad thought or a bad word. You ask, Lord Jesus, cleanse me with your blood. Right. But please remember at that moment, that blood is worth more than 10 crores worth of gold. I don't think you ever thought of it like that till now. You thought of it like tap water. He says it's more precious than of gold and silver. You were delivered from this foolish, useless way of life. Verse 18, that you inherited from your parents. Verse 18. You know, sin is a serious thing.